Join me in the book of Zephaniah, one of the minor prophets. If you find the book of Matthew, just go backwards or to your left about six pages and you should stumble upon Zephaniah. Very, very small book, three chapters. But as you're about to hear, a very stark, powerful book in his writings. The book of Zephaniah. I'll give you a little extra time to get there. We don't go to the minor prophets often. Well, there. The word of the Lord that came to Zephaniah, the son of Cushi, son of Gedaliah, son of Amari, son of Hezekiah, in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah. I will utterly sweep away everything from the face of the earth, declares the Lord. I will sweep away man and beast. I will sweep away the birds of the heaven and the fish of the sea and the rubble with the wicked. I will cut off mankind from the face of the earth, declares the Lord. I will stretch out my hand against Judah and against all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And I will cut off from this place the remnant of Baal. In the name of the idolatrous priests, along with the priests, those who bow down on the roofs to host of the heavens, those who bow down and swear to the Lord and yet swear to Milcom, those who have turned back from following the Lord, who do not seek the Lord or inquire of him. Be silent before the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is near. The Lord has prepared a sacrifice and consecrated his guests. And on the day of the Lord's sacrifice, I will punish the officials and the king's sons, and all who array themselves in foreign attire. On that day I will punish everyone who leaps over the threshold, and those who fill their master's house with violence and fraud. On that day, declares the Lord, a cry will be heard from the fish gate, a wail from the second quarter, a loud crash from the hills. Wail, O inhabitants of the mortar, for all the traitors are no more. All who weigh out silver are cut off. At that time I will search Jerusalem with lamps, and I will punish the men who are complacent, those who say in their hearts, the Lord will not do good, nor will he do ill. Their goods shall be plundered and their houses laid waste. Though they build houses, they shall not inhabit them. Though they plant vineyards, they shall not drink wine from them. The great day of the Lord is near, near and hastening fast. The sound of the day of the Lord is bitter. The mighty man cries aloud there. A day of wrath is that day, a day of distress and anguish, a day of ruin and devastation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet blasts and battle cry against the fortified cities and against the lofty battlements. I will bring distress on mankind, so they shall walk like the blind, because they have sinned against the Lord. Their blood shall be poured out like dust, and their flesh like dung. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them on the day of the wrath of the Lord. In the fire of his jealousy, all the earth shall be consumed. For a full sudden end will make all of the inhabitants of the earth. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of this word. To say that God is angry, I think, would be an understatement. Following decades and decades of leading by evil and corrupt kings, the nation of Judah, and especially the city of Jerusalem, fell into an extreme depravity. And it was to such a degree that God's anger is seen here in the words of Zephaniah like no other place in Holy Text. And please know, our Lord's anger, God's anger, is not toward the unbeliever. It's not toward the outsider. His anger is directed directly at his people. And most especially, the kings and the king's sons. And even more than that, the priests of the Holy Temple. The hypocrites and the betrayers of God's holy commands have led God to send Zephaniah to speak these horrific words to the city of Jerusalem. And while we must take note of this anger, please also know that all is not lost. It may be hard to perceive at this point, but this angry diatribe, if you will, actually reveals God cares for his people. This anger shows us that God's ultimate concern is the righteous behavior of his people. If he were not concerned, he would just let the depravity continue, let them continue to fall into this state. But no, our God disciplines those that he loves. And Jerusalem is about to face some very, very debilitating discipline. God is so enraged by the sins of his people that he's willing to wipe them out. And the entire created order with him. Just as he spoke creation into place, he is prepared now to speak it away. Verse 2 and 3, I will utterly sweep away everything from the face of the earth. I will sweep away man and beast. I will sweep away the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea and the rubble with the wicked. I will cut off mankind from the face of the earth, declares the Lord. Let us not underestimate the severity and the level of God's anger with his people. God is so angry with the people and with the sins of the people that instead of them offering sacrifice in temple that they were taught to do, he is now going to put them in a place where they will be sacrificed. The coming day of the Lord will not be a day of deliverance into freedom for Jerusalem. It will actually be a day in deliverance into bondage. And that day of the Lord that comes upon Jerusalem will not be a pretty sight. Join me in verse 14. The great day of the Lord is near, near and hastening fast. The sounds of the day of the Lord is bitter. The mighty man cries aloud there. A day of wrath is that day, a day of distress and anguish, a day of ruin and devastation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet blasts and battle cry against the fortified city and against the lofty battlements. I will bring distress on mankind. We must ask, what has made God so angry? Why these incredible words of total destruction against a people that he has chosen to be his own? Well, before we get to the details of that, we must know that God's anger with his people of that day is the same as it is of this day. It's the response of one who has cared and loved and invested so much into a people who have now not only turned from him, but have become hypocrites in their worship of other gods. There is much in the church today, capital C, global church. There is much in the church today that I am sure angers God to a comparable level. According to one analyst, as he looked out across the nature and state of the church, Christians today have allowed the world to squeeze us into its corrupt and sinful mold. We tend to follow the ways of the world more than the ways of God. The church has allowed its members to be taken captive by this secular man-centered thinking rather than Christ-centered thinking. The church has allowed its members to be taken captive by the deceptive belief in moral relativity, meaning there is no absolute truth. We have not been the salt and light in our culture that God has commanded us to be. We have not faithfully nor effectively shared the good news of God's love with other individuals. We have not trusted and obeyed God and submitted to the control of the Holy Spirit, which I'm sure angers God. We have not faithfully managed the resources that God has so blessed us with. And the church has not boldly spoken God's truth in love to a lost and dying world, especially out in the open marketplace. Do you think God's angry with his church today? Let's go back to Zephaniah and look at the specifics that brought God to this raging, and then also how it correlates to our world today. He mentions Jerusalem worships Baal. The word Baal means Lord or Master. And the belief was that Baal was in absolute control over nature and all the people. It was believed that Baal was in charge of the rain and the weather, and man's total survival was dependent upon Baal's disposition and his attitude. And not only did they worship Baal, but because he was over the environment and controlled it, the people worshiped the environment as well. Sound familiar? Baal worshiping included sexual activity during worship and religious prostitution in the church, in the temple, was commanded. I don't have to mention to you the abuse of God's gift of intimacy between a man and woman in our culture today. They could very easily mirror the days of Baal. Also, human sacrifice was common, and it was done to placate their gods. During the worship service, they would actually sacrifice the children. And then the sacrificed children would be buried in the foundations of their homes, because they believed burying them in places like this would protect their homes from trouble. Since Roe versus Wade of 1973, how many children have we killed? Yeah, God's angry. In verse 5, we read, "Those who bow down on the roofs to the hosts of heaven, and those who bow down and swear to the Lord, and yet swear to Milcom." Again, here we see the worship of the heavens, the environment, rather than the creator of the heavens. We are guilty of that today. But here is where the hypocrisy of Jerusalem comes to the forefront. They swear to the Lord, yet they swear to Milcom or Molech as well. The worship of Molech involved the abuse of adults and the sacrifice of children by fire. It was the common worship practice surrounding Jerusalem. But the point here is in the days of the temple, they would be in the temple swearing by the Lord, and then we go to the other places and worship Molech, because the surrounding culture worshipped that god. How many today worship the Lord Jesus Christ on Sunday, yet are worshiping the surrounding culture with its immense involvement of things that are not godly? Christian on Sunday, pagan on Monday. We are guilty. And then Zephaniah mentions those who have completely turned their backs on Yahweh. He writes, "Those that have turned their back from following the Lord, who do not seek the Lord or inquire of him." Here, yes, the idolatrous worship is horrible. But for God's people, I know it's a tough sermon. Do I just do the benediction and we go home? No, I knew they were leaving. Here are God's people, His chosen, who have completely denied and turned their back on Him. It's kind of apropos that these left. Look around. Church attendance today is decreasing rapidly. And those who profess to be Christians attend church sparsely. Do you think God's angry? Yes, God is angry. One more place, if we haven't already seen enough. Verse 18. Zephaniah writes, "Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them on the day of wrath of the Lord." Jerusalem had gained an aspect of wealth during this time through their dealings with their neighboring nations. But here we are told that not even their wealth would save them from the day of the Lord and His judgment. As I've mentioned many times, today in the United States, it is a very materialistic country. We seek to find status in our wealth. We seek to find power in our wealth. We seek to find peace and safety in our wealth. Yet on the day of the Lord that we have yet to face, our wealth will not provide any safety or any peace or any protection. And then finally, in the latter half of verse 18, we read, "In the fire of His jealousy, all of the earth shall be consumed." Now, this is prophecy for contemporary Jerusalem of that day. And as we will see as we go further into Zephaniah, they will face their day of judgment. But this is also a prophecy to our day. This is also prophetic writing of what is in our future. Because there is a day of the Lord coming when the discipline of His judgment will be rendered upon His church. Now, please know, this language is harsh, and He says He will wipe away everyone. As I will get into next week, this is a style of prophecy. It's like a shot across the bow to get your attention. But God will not destroy His people because He has made a covenant. But that does not mean He will not discipline them in His judgment. Yes, our day of the Lord is coming. Well, did Zephaniah's warnings do any good? Did the inhabitants of Jerusalem repent? We'll see that in the coming chapters. So what of the church today? What of the church today? Will this language, these warnings, cause any in the church to repent? Or will we find judgment on that coming day? Because again, Zephaniah is a warning. It is a call to all of those who believe they are God's chosen. This is not language to the pagan world. This is language to the church. All of us who believe we are saved through Jesus Christ and find assurance, yes. But the discipline of judgment is in our future. Zephaniah is a call to a self-absorbed culture to come back. To return to a God who established a covenant and then fulfilled that covenant through Jesus Christ. It's a warning against our pride, against our trust, against our false gods. Yes, it's a call to the church at large, but the church at large is made up of individuals. And so this is a call to the individuals. How will we respond? How will we respond? Repent or face the discipline of judgment? Let's pray together. Father, yes, Zephaniah portrays your anger. We could go to the book of Revelation and read of similar words of anger toward your creation. But this is speaking to the church. And we have to know that we are guilty in one aspect or another. Maybe not all of these areas we've covered, but in one aspect or another. And so, Father, we apologize, sorry, confess, and seek repentance. Holy Spirit, come and lead us in this act of repentance. And Father, I pray that your anger would be swayed by your love and care for a people. Yes, you discipline those you love, but remember us in that love. In Jesus' holy name, amen and amen.